grab a quick cup of coffee if you need to, and we're going to get started in just a minute here. I hope you all had a good Christmas. We had a nice one. You're really quiet. I guess you had a really nice Christmas this year. You're all worn out. I hope you're feeling healthy after the break. I'm a little tired from all the fun. And how many of you were here Christmas Eve? Everybody? Most everybody here Christmas Eve? Did you enjoy that service? I enjoyed it. We had quite a crowd there. I think that's something to come in our church. I think we're going to see more of that. I know what I forgot to talk about. The 13th, which is is 2 Sundays from today, we're going to have in the band changed. It's going to be a special kind of service. And the band changed, I'll just give you a little background on them. I saw them last summer, and they talked about how they formed their band around a verse of Scripture. And it's found in the book of 2 Corinthians. It says this: "If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new." And one of the things they're going to talk about is second chances and do-overs in life. And the band leader had an event that changed his life. He felt like he got a second chance. And so he's kind of dedicated himself and the ministry of the band to bringing that to other people's attentions, that God has a second chance for people. And that's actually going to kick off our theme for next year. Our theme is going to be around this idea of second chances, do-overs, but more importantly, on God's power to help transform your lives. And so I just wanted to get you pointed in that direction. I think it'd be a great Sunday to invite some friends to come to church. If anybody likes, I'm trying to think of the era, but it's kind of like 70s, 80s kind of rock kind of sound. I think you'll enjoy that service. And they have a lot of music that they've written and some words that I believe that'll speak volumes to us. So don't forget the 13th and invite some friends. So anyway, we're going to get started here. Our theme for Christmas Eve was Light of the World. And I closed the sermon, I closed the service by talking about two reasons why we need God's light. One was to understand what God is really like. And the second reason was because we need God's light to show us the way in life. But there's also another reason we need God's light. We need God's light because in life there are sometimes dark days. There are dark days that we have in life. And so I thought about this. You weren't designed to live in the dark or to see in the dark. You notice your dog can see in the dark? You ever walk your dog and they see stuff that you don't see? Your cat can see in the dark, but not so much you or me. Christmas Eve, I remember I was carrying some boxes up to the storage room and the light switch, I flipped it on and nothing happened. And usually we're here during the day, so it's not a problem if the light doesn't come on. You just put the things on the shelf. But on Christmas Eve, it was kind of dark, and so I stumbled around in the dark. I didn't have my phone with me. I'd left it in my coat pocket, and so I kind of did my best to put things away in the dark. Stephen, where are you? How did I do? Was it okay? It was okay. But I was stumbling around in the dark, and I think there's this idea that we, in life, we try to do the best that we can, but sometimes it feels like we're stumbling around in the dark. One of the things you need to have in your house is a good working flashlight. You really do. You need a good working flashlight because at least where I live in Round Hill, we get the power out every once in a while. And I live in a part of Round Hill where what happens is there's only one power feed to my neighborhood. And so the power can go out at my house and I can look across the street and I can see they have light over there, but I don't have light at my house. And I was not designed to see in the dark. And so I need to have a good flashlight. And we have this one drawer in the kitchen that's got a bunch of flashlights in it. But the truth is only one of them's really reliable. All right. And so here's a New Year's Eve resolution for everybody, including me. All right. Go home. All right. Put this on your list. And I'll tell you why you want it on your list. But you put it on your list first. Then you go home and you go through all your flashlights and you make sure they have good batteries, the switches work, and they've got a good light bulb in them. All right. And if they don't, just toss them out. You can get a good flashlight at Walmart for about $5. All right. But if you can repair it, replace it, whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. And let me tell you why you write this down on your list of resolutions for the new years. Because you'll start the new year out with an easy one. You'll be able to check that one off or put a line through and say, hey, I got one done. Now I just have to lose 20 pounds and get my budget in order, all right? But you can start off with a good success. You see, you need a light because inevitably the lights are going to go out. The power is going to go out and you're going to need a good flashlight in your house. And I want to just say that the year 2019, it's going to be a mixture of good and bad days. It really is. There are going to be some dark days in 2019. There are going to be ups. There are going to be downs. There are going to be days that are going to be filled with light and joy. But there's also going to be some dark days. And that's just the way life is. And if you get used to this, you know what? You're going to be a happier person if you just know that's life. There are some really good days and there are going to be some bad days. And that's just life. And you see, with the light of Christ, though, we can go through life knowing that even on the darkest days, we're going to be able to see clearly because the light of the world, Jesus, is essential, especially on our dark days. So let's look at a couple things this morning. I want to talk about this whole idea of Jesus being our light of the world for dark days. And if you go, we already have the next slide up here this morning. It says this, the Bible is kind of has a theme that goes through it of light. It's a major theme in the Bible. Anybody remember what the first thing God said when he created the world? What were the first words? Let there be light. Light was obviously some pretty important stuff. The Bible says God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he said, I've come into the world as light so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in darkness. I always tell you to pull out the notes in the back of your page, and I see a lot of you already doing the notes that are in the back of the chairs. I want you to circle a phrase there. I want you to circle the phrase, so that. I have come into the world as a light, so that. So that is a statement of purpose. It tells us something important. It tells us why Jesus came to earth. He came to earth so that what? So that those who believe in him would not remain in darkness. Well, the word remain means to dwell in or live there. Anybody ever have a dark time in your life? Ever anybody hang out in a dark time too long? Anybody hang out in a dark time longer than you needed to be in that dark time? Anybody ever get under the circumstances? I'm going to talk about that later on. But his whole idea is that he came so that you wouldn't have to remain in darkness. You think about that. The whole reason Jesus was came to earth, the whole reason he came to planet earth, the whole reason that he came, he was born in a barn with the animals and he lived most of his life in poverty. The reason he went to the cross to die for our sins was so that those who believe in him, those who follow him, those that trust in him would have some light to live by even in the dark days. And he's not talking about physical darkness. He's not talking about this time of the year that I dislike the most, the time when the sun goes down way too early and it comes up way too late. I mean, when he's not talking about that kind of darkness. He's talking about spiritual darkness. He's talking about emotional darkness. He's talking about the spiritual darkness that is ignorance of God's nature and what he wants to do in your life. You see, that makes dark times even darker when you don't understand that God is there for you, that he has something for you, that God wants to be involved in the dark days of your life. You see, everybody has dark days. Everybody has days that are uncertain. Everyone has days that are difficult. There are people here that, and I'm sure you like that, you don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Nobody like that around here? You don't want to get out of bed in the morning? You have days when you don't want to face the world where you wonder if it's worth the effort. Maybe even days you just want to throw in a towel and just give up. Those are what dark days look like. And we all have some of them. So why am I telling you that? Because I'm thinking, you know, am I just Debbie Downer here this morning? All right, I'm going to get you down really low. And then you can go home and say, boy, it was great to be in church this morning. I mean, he just got us down on the ground and rubbed our noses in it for a mile. And no, it's just that I want you to have the light of the world. God's light is here so you won't get stuck. You won't get stuck in the dark days. And there are going to be some. There are always some in life. So I'm going to look at three types of dark days and how Jesus is the antidote to keep you from getting stuck in life. And those three things I'm going to talk about are disappointment, distress, and doubt. And so I'm going to start the first one with, there are some dark days of disappointment. I have a verse of scripture here, and boy, we are on top of things today. Thank you, James. And it's from the book of Job. Anybody ever read that one? That's a real Debbie Downer story, I'm just going to tell you. It's good in the end. I'm just going to tell you, the last couple chapters are okay. Man, you got to work to get through most of the book. I'm just saying it, but he said this. He said, I hoped for happiness and light, but trouble and darkness came and said. Reminds me of Eeyore. Some people are like that. God doesn't want you to be like Eeyore, all right? He doesn't want you. But you might have felt like that. You're hoping for one thing and you got something else. You were disappointed. Regardless of the outcome of any election in this country, about half the people are going to be disappointed. You know, football fans, I don't know if you're a Redskins fan or not. I was watching the Redskins this year, all right? I followed them this year, and man, it started out, it was looking good. They were saying the P word. They were saying playoffs. They were saying playoffs. You know, somebody even said if they can get to 8 wins before they have 5 losses, man, it's going to be great. I don't think that happened. We're like 4 quarterbacks later, right? And you know what? The season is already over. You know what? My big takeaway from this year was that guy Josh, is it Jones or is it Josh Jones? The nobody even knows. You guys stopped watching. What kind of fans are you? All right, I'm not even a Redskins fan, and I watched. All right, but he looks like he could be a player, and I'm kind of liking that. He'll probably get picked up by somebody else. But the truth is that in life, there are going to be disappointments. Things are not going to work out as you plan. Situations don't work themselves out always the way you'd like them to. You know, even Christmas presents. You know, I was reading this story about a little boy. He was sitting there, and he was looking at the tree. And under the tree, there was this round thing, and it was wrapped up. And that's the hardest thing to wrap up is round things, right? I'm sure it wasn't pretty, but there was a round thing under there. And he's thinking, man, that's my new basketball. That's my new basketball. It was about this big. It was the right size for an NBA basketball. That's my new basketball.
Imagine the look on the kid's face when he opened it up and it was just a globe. You know? Oh, well. All right, we can be disappointed even by Christmas presents. In life, there are disappointments. Can you imagine Mary's disappointment that very first Christmas? She has been told, you're going to give birth to the Messiah, the nation's greatest king and the Son of God. Think about what vision goes in your head when you think of this, how that's going to affect your own life. And then imagine what it was like when she gives birth to the child, and it's not in a palace or anything like that. It's in a stable. She had to give birth on the road. It wasn't even the Motel 6. It wasn't the Days Inn. It certainly wasn't the Hilton or the Holiday Inn. She had a baby in a stable. And you know, that had to be disappointing. See, sometimes in life, we deal with disappointment. And disappointment can be a dark day. There can be dark days of distress. Anybody ever get stressed out? I mean, anybody ever describe you as stressed out? Anybody ever deny you're stressed out and people look at your face and they say, man, you look like you're really stressed today. I'm never stressed. I just want you to tell you that. I am never stressed, all right? And if you don't believe me, I'm going to prove to you that I am not stressed, all right? But we can be stressed. We can have distress. You know, there's a common experience a lot of people have, and they find out that the month that the money ran out before the month ran out. Some people are stressed out because of health-related things. You know, in the first Christmas, I think maybe Mary experienced some stress there too. It's stressful to have your first child, and that was her first child, and she had her first child alone. She had her family wasn't there with her. She had her first child on the road. That had to be stressful for her. And then you have your first child, and you get visits from shepherds, and you have visits from wise men, and you're thinking, what's going on here? But that had to be stressful. And her ancient ancestor, King David, greatest king that Israel's ever had, perhaps one of the greatest leaders this world has ever seen, he experienced distress. He wrote these words in Psalm 22. My God, why have you abandoned me? I've cried out desperately for help, but still help does not come. You might recognize that passage of scripture. Although King David wrote it 1,000 years before Christ, Jesus actually recited that spoke those words from the cross. You see, feeling distress is a part of life. You could be distressed, like I said, by financially. There's too much month at the end of the money. I heard about a guy who went to his creditor and said, you know that easy payment plan you offered me? Do you have an easier one? All right. We can be stressed out by finances. We can be stressed out physically. Anybody ever discover that your get up and go got up and went? You know, it's just, you're just tired all the time. You don't feel good. And you don't feel like doing anything. And you know what's even worse about that? When you're stressed out physically, sometimes you can be stressed out emotionally because you go to the doctor and say, I don't know what's wrong. And he says, neither do I, you know. and they'll tell you, it's probably just stress. I mean, as if stress is not a big deal. Stress is a big deal in your life. You can be stressed out relationally. Sometimes things aren't right in your marriage. Sometimes your relationship with your kids or your friends or your boss or your neighbors aren't working out. And I'll just tell you, probably that is the greatest cause of stress for a lot of people when there's tension with other people around you. I read a story about a man who went to the pet store and he bought a previously owned parrot. And he got it for half off on a clearance sale. And he thought he had this really, really good deal. And so he got it home, and he said he noticed that the bird just kept on repeating, let's make out, let's make out. And he was thinking, maybe this isn't the best parrot in the world. So he tried to take it back to the store, right? And the manager said, I'm sorry. You got it on clearance, 50% off. You know there was no return. He says, well, what am I going to do with this parrot? He goes, I got an idea. And this is a good salesman. He said, you need to get another parrot.
We've got a parrot in the store, and it says, let's pray. It says, let's pray. So what we're going to do is, you buy the second parrot. I'll give you 50% off on that one. It's also on clearance. And you stick them in the cage together, and maybe the good parrot, well, good parent. Wow, that's a slip. But maybe the good parent will influence the bad parent. And so he says he left them there together for about 2 weeks, and the bad parent just kept on saying, let's make out, let's make out. But the good parent changed. He said, my prayers have been answered, my prayers have been answered. Well, anyway, okay, we're gonna go on to the next one here, because sometimes in life, you can have days of doubt. You ever feel like in life that you're in a cloud? You don't know where you're going. You don't know what's going on. And so you look at your past and you see disappointments. You look at your present. You feel a little bit of stress. You look at your future and you get anxious and doubtful and all unsettled. And listen to the words of Jesus for this kind of a dark day. He says, the one who walks in dark does not know where he is going. And that, I think, is what it's about sometimes in life. We don't know where we're going. We're here. We're here. We got here somehow, but we're not sure where we're going. And let me just tell you something. Everybody has had that feeling at some point. Do you know why you've had that feeling in life where you don't know where you're going? Because you don't. Only God knows. Only God knows where you're going. Only God has complete certainty about where things are going and where you're going. You don't know where the stock market is going, all right? You don't know where. Somebody was saying at the end of the year, well, we know for one thing it went down real low. It's got to go back up again, all right? That's not a given. All right? That's not a given. If you knew where the stock market was going, you'd be living in a better neighborhood. I'm just saying. All right? Nobody knows where the government's going. You don't. You don't know how long this shutdown is going to take. You don't know that. Nobody knows that. Some people pretend to. I love the people on the news that tell you what they think is going to happen. They're always trying to read the tea leaves and tell you what. They never know what they're talking about. They're just making commercial revenue for their company, their news organization. That's all they're doing. And we're suckers, and we sit there and we listen to this stuff. You don't know where your health is going. You don't know. You don't know where your business or career is going in life. You're going to have some doubts. Now, again, I'm not Debbie Downer here, all right? This is not about bringing you down. It's just talking about reality, getting used to reality in your life. I think that if you can get used to reality in your life, you're going to be a more confident person if you can just get used to reality. So let me talk about God's antidote for dark days. God's antidote for dark days. God doesn't want you to get stuck in the darkness, even on a dark day. You know what the Bible says? You, Lord, are my light. You dispel my darkness. You chase it away. You make it go. That's what God wants to do for you. He wants to bring light into your dark days. God wants to be your antidote for darkness. He wants to enter into your disappointment, your distress, and your doubts, and he wants to be your flashlight. He wants to be the flashlight that turns the light on and shows you where things are going, and he wants to give you tools. And I like this idea, tools. Anybody here like tools, power tools? The school just got a new vacuum cleaner. It really works nice. I like good tools. In my kitchen, my wife has some really good knives. Good knives are better than cheap knives. They're a lot better than cheap knives. We like good tools. God wants you to have tools. He wants you to have a flashlight. And Jesus said these words, I'm the light of the world. So if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness. Jesus came to light up the dark days. So how does he do that? How does he light up your life in dark days? I'm going to talk about three things, and that's pretty much the rest of the sermon this morning, is three things that Jesus wants to do for you in your darkest days. And the first one is, Jesus will encourage you when you're disappointed. Anybody have a disappointment in 2018? everybody probably had some. Some were bigger than others, but everybody had some kind of a disappointment. No one has a life that's absent of disappointment. Do you know why? Because then you wouldn't recognize heaven. Heaven is the place where there are no disappointments. And I'm just going to take a moment here. Sometimes when you talk to people about heaven, they're not so sure. You know, that they wonder, like, is all I do is just kind of like sing and stuff like that in heaven, like all the time? All right, let me just tell you something about heaven. In heaven, you're never going to be disappointed. It's going to be one day after another. There's never going to be a down day in heaven. Everything's going to be great in heaven. And I just thought I'd tell that to somebody this morning. You need to know that. Heaven is going to be great, all right? But on earth, things aren't going to always be the way you want. You're not going to get what you want. There's a song about that, and I'm not going to sing this morning. But on earth, circumstances won't always meet your expectations. There's going to be big and little disappointments in life. Maybe last year you didn't get the bonus, or you didn't get the bonus that you were looking for. Maybe you didn't close the deal you're going to close. Maybe you didn't complete the project. Maybe there were delays. I used to hate it when there was a project and there were delays. I don't like delays and things. Maybe the team that you played on or you coached didn't perform the way you wanted. Maybe the team you root for didn't perform the way you wanted. Maybe there were problems in your family that weren't resolved the way you wanted them to be. Maybe you didn't get the grades or the test scores or into the school that you wanted to get into. So how does Jesus help us when things don't go the way we want them to? Well, the first way he helps us is that he encourages us with his presence. The Bible says this: the Lord is near to those who are discouraged. He saves those who have lost hope. You know, one of the titles that we talked about at Christmas this year was Emmanuel. Remember Emmanuel? Anybody know what Emmanuel means? God with us, all right? So Jesus speaks courage to you. He says, I'm with you. You're not abandoned when things aren't going right. He is not ignoring you. Anybody pray about something for a really long time and you're not seeing the answer, right? He is not ignoring you. You're not going through your disappointing time alone. He is near. If you're a Christ follower, there will never be a day when he is not with you. He promised, I'll never leave you. I'll never give up on you. But here's the thing you need to know. Not only is God with you, meaning his presence and his close proximity, God is also for you. The Bible says this: if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, Paul's not asking a question, if God is for us. He's kind of making a statement here that God is certainly for us. So if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can stand against us? Who can harm us if God is for us? That's what he's saying in this one. So how many times do we wonder, when things don't go the way we want, is God out to get me? I don't know if you ever think that way. Is God out to get me? Is God stopping me for some reason? And let me tell you something. In life, there are consequences for things. If you don't do what you should, if you do what you shouldn't, there are going to be consequences. I can't even speak this morning. You know, but the Bible says we reap what we sow in this life. But I want to make something clear. God is not out to get you. He hasn't taken sides against you. He isn't trying to make your life miserable. You know who's trying to make your life miserable? The other guy, right? We sometimes forget that. We think God's trying to make our lives miserable. It's the other guy. Jesus said these words: the thief, and he's talking about the devil, has come to rob and to kill and to destroy. That's what his goal for your life is. Jesus said, my goal? The reason I came that you might have a rich and satisfying life. I'll bet you remember that verse of scripture because I say it almost I don't know, 3 out of 4 sermons a month. Why do I keep saying that? Because I'm trying to get that past your ears into your head and then from your head down into your heart. You see, we don't see things the way we should. We don't understand God the way we should. We need a light. We need divine light to reveal what God is really like. Jesus said, I have come that you might have a rich and satisfying life. And so I say these things, and you go through a bad time, and I'll bet you there's another question that you might ask. So if God is for me, if he cares for me, if he's working things out for me, if he's involved in my life in the middle of a disappointment, you might scratch your head and said, if God knows what's going, I'm going through and what's going on, does he know what he's doing? I'll just stop for a second because I'll bet you if I asked for a show of hands, nobody would put one up. But we all wonder that sometimes. If God knows what's going on and he cares about me, does he know what he's doing? Well, God has an answer to that question. It's found in the Bible. He says, I know what I'm doing. Okay, God says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you and not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Circle that phrase, I have it all planned out. Sometimes our disappointments are because we're going the wrong way. We're going the wrong way. Sometimes our disappointments are because we want the wrong things. All right? Sometimes we're going the right way and we want the right things. But they're not the things that God wants us to have. God has a better thing or a different thing for you. And God says to you, my purposes for your life are greater than the problems you're facing, and there is a purpose behind it. You see, Jesus encourages us. He encourages you. He encourages me when I'm disappointed because we know he's got it all under control. Now, let me give you another one this morning. So we said that Jesus will encourage us when we're disappointed. He will also strengthen you when you're distressed. Some of you have grown in your faith, and I'm seeing that, by the way. You are growing in your faith, even if you wonder about it. But I've seen it in a lot of you. God's presence and his ability to care for you is not something you just know about up here. You're starting to get it down here, and it's changing the way you talk. It's changing the way you think. And so you may not understand what he's doing, but you're learning to trust him anyway. You just don't have confidence in yourself. Now, in distressing times, you know that God's going to be just fine, right? You know that. But you wonder, are you going to be fine? Are you going to make it? And this is what God says. God says, I have the strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. And this is actually Paul the Apostle making a statement, one that we should be able to embrace ourselves. It says this, I have the strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. Now, here's the thing. You need to write this down or maybe put it on the home screen of your phone. All right? You need to write this down because you need to know this. I have strength for all things. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything. I'm competent. I'm capable. I'm able to handle everything no matter what comes my way. In my own power? Can you read? It's up there on the screen. The answer is no, not in your own power. This is not the kind of life that God intended for you to live on your own without him. Notice those two phrases, and I highlighted them, in Christ and through Christ, or through him. You see, there's a power that God wants us to have, and it's a power that's not inside of me. It comes from living in relationship with him. And it's not a power that you have to work up. You know what it is? It's a strength that you find along the way. As you're walking with him, as you're learning about him, as his ways are becoming your ways, as your faith is growing, you're going to start to find this strength that you didn't have before. And I'm going to tell you that. That's why you keep walking. That's why you keep following. That's why you keep reading your Bible. That's why you keep praying. That's why you keep trusting. Because these things change you on the inside, and you start to you begin to tap into God's power for you. A week ago Sunday, I remember I shared this thought that we are more than conquerors, right? We said that we were talking about identity, and the Bible says you are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors in Christ. You know what conquerors are? Conquerors are people that aren't just getting by, right? A lot of us think it's okay to either get through or just get by. Conquerors aren't just getting by in life. God doesn't want you to just get through. And we hear people say things like, you ask them, how are you doing? And I may have said this once or twice in my life, or maybe more. How are you doing? And the answer is, I'm doing okay, under the circumstances. You know, you always hear the voice trail off a little bit, under the circumstances. Do you know, if the Bible says you're a conqueror, you're not supposed to be under the circumstances, because conquerors are not under the circumstances. Conquerors are on top of the circumstances. And again, this is not a self-help, pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of message. We're conquerors in Christ and through Christ. There is something that happens. The Bible says this: anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. All right? There's this idea, there's a transformation that goes on in our lives as we walk with Christ. The way you were in 2018 doesn't have to be the way you are in 2019. God's in the business of changing us. All right? He's in the business of making us different. Do you know why you are the way you were in the past? You didn't see things clearly. You didn't understand God. You didn't know what God wanted for you. As you learn more about Him, how much He cares for you, how much He loves you, what He has for you, what He's able to do in you. There is a beautiful verse of Scripture. I believe it's Ephesians. It's chapter 3. It's somewhere around verse 20. It says this: and He is able to do immeasurably more than all you ask or imagine, wait for it, according to the power that is at work in you. I just said a bunch of things about being more than conquerors, and somebody's sitting there thinking, man, he's just blowing sunshine right now. That's what you were thinking. All right, I know you were thinking it, because if I was sitting there, I might be thinking that too. But you see, I'm not talking about my power to change things. I have failed miserably to change a lot of things in my life. I have failed, and so have you. When you're coming up on the new year and you're going to have all your resolutions, and there's all these things you want to change, and you know you've tried it before and it didn't work before. I didn't lose the 20 pounds last year. I'm just saying. All right, I lost some, but not the 20 pounds. And the thought is, I don't have the power in me to change me. But He does. He does. His power is at work, and I have the strength for all things in Christ to empower me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses me with inner strength, infuses inner strength into me. And so this is the big idea, is that God wants to make changes in our life. And like I said before, next year we're going to begin a series on second chances, divine do-overs, and we're going to focus on God's power to transform your life. You see, Jesus wants to strengthen you to deal with distress. There's one more darkness here I want to talk about this morning. One of the things I've been trying to change about me is to get a sermon finished before 11 o'clock. I've been really trying, guys, and maybe today will be the day. But I want to give you one more. God will guide you when your future seems doubtful. How many of you struggle to make decisions? Anybody struggle to make decisions? Some people worry and stress, and they stay up night because they've got to make a decision.
There's a decision to make, and I got to make a decision. And so you stress over the decision, and it ruins your sleep at night. It makes your stomach churn during the day. Can I tell you something? If you don't get a good night's sleep, you're not making a good decision during the day. Just saying here this morning. So how do we make decisions? Well, some people, they just go with their gut. All right? How's that working out for you? Some people, all right, they're not struggling with decisions, so we're going to just put that aside for this morning. How many of you guys are overanalyzers? Man, you got to have every little bit of information before you make a decision. You need everything, and so you need every piece of information before you make a decision. And then when you're ready to make the decision, oh, I just need one more thing. I just need one more thing, all right? And you know what happens is, that's called analysis paralysis. You know, you need that one more piece of information to make your decision, and you never have it, all right? How many procrastinators do we have here? Okay, we got some honest people, procrastinators here. All right, you put off major decisions. Just keep putting them off and putting them off and putting them off as if they're going to go away. No, what's going to happen is you're going to run up to a deadline and then you're going to have to make a decision. All right, so we got procrastinators here. This morning, I won't tell you if I'm a... Yes, I am. All right, here's one more. How many second guessers we have? All right, second guessers. All right, second guessers are people that after you've made the decision, oh, I made the decision. Was it the right decision? And you stress about it. You know, that's a dark thing, isn't it? All right, how many procrastinators, and please do not put up your hands. I'm just going to ask, how many procrastinators are married to second guessers? Oh, that's lots of fun. That's lots of fun. All right, just saying here this morning, maybe we can help somebody this year. Well, guess what? Oh, you're going to hate me. You are going to hate me when I say this. There are going to be decisions that you're going to have to make in 2019, okay? And being a grown-up, listen up here, look up here, being a grown-up is about making decisions. Do I need to reinforce this a little bit? You see, when you were a child, other people made all your decisions for you. And what did you want more than anything else? I want to make my own decisions. Guess what? You wake up one day, you're an adult. Now you got to make all the decisions. Being an adult is about making decisions. But making decisions doesn't have to be a dark day. It doesn't have to cause you stress. At least not for people who trust God. And God has given you three ways to be confident when you make decisions in life. Jesus said these words, "I'm the light of the world. So if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness, for living light will flood your path." Circle that phrase, "if you follow me." If you follow me. See, when you're following Jesus, you're following the one who will never lead you the wrong way. If you're following Jesus, he knows what's going to happen next. He knows what's good for you. You know, when you wander away from Jesus, and this happens to people in life, and what I mean by wander away, you wander away from what he wants from your life, and you wander away from a relationship with him. All right, you wander away from him. That's usually when you make bad decisions and you go the wrong way. And when you're wandering away from Jesus, you know who you're really following? Who's the only one who wants you to wander away from Jesus? Let that sink in for a minute here. It's good to stay close and to follow him. You see, we talked about this last year. He's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. You want to follow the good shepherd, not the other guy. If you're following Jesus, he will always lead you towards that rich and satisfying life. And so the first thing is you're following Jesus. The second one is this. God has given us his Bible. You know what the Bible says about itself? And it's okay for the Bible to say this about itself because God is the author of the Bible. It says this, "Your words are a flashlight to light the path ahead of me and keep me from stumbling." I highlighted stumbling in these two passages here. Because isn't that what it's like when you don't know what decision to make
or you find yourself making a lot of bad decisions in life, you're just stumbling. You're just stumbling through life. And so he says, I'm going to keep you from stumbling. My word is for to keep you from stumbling. So it's supposed to keep you from making bad decisions. And somebody said, well, does it have a specific answer to a specific question? Like, should I buy Apple stock? You know, that's a question we'd like him to answer for us. Or maybe if you're a young person, who I'm supposed to marry or what career I'm supposed to pursue. And I'm just going to tell you something. You're not going to find the answer to any of that in the Bible. There is no Apple stock in the Bible. There is no name of a person you're supposed to be marrying. But you know what it does tell you? It gives you broad principles about what kind of person to marry. It does tell you that. It tells you how to stay married once you get married. It teaches you how to manage your money. It teaches you how to get along with people, what kinds of people to make good friends. It teaches you principles of business. And I'm just going to say, if these things are of interest to you, there's a book in the Old Testament called the Book of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters in the Book of Proverbs. You could read one a day for a month, and it contains a lot of wisdom about life in general. If you want more intense wisdom, go read the Sermon on the Mount. It's in the book of Matthew around chapter 5 and 6 there. Read the Sermon on the Mount. Read the teachings of Jesus. They tell us about how to live and what God wants for us. So he's given us his abiding presence. He's given us his word. He's taught us how we're supposed to live. And there's another source of confidence we have when we're making decisions. Listen to this. The Bible says we should make plans. We should make plans. I hope you do make plans. I sometimes struggle to make plans. But you should make plans, and you should count on God to direct you. Listen to the next one. The Lord guides us in the way we should go and protects those who please him. Circle the two words, guides and protects. I'm sorry, that was for later. Circle the word, those who please God. I don't want to start another whole sermon here this morning. But you know what pleasing God is about? It's about trusting him. That's what pleases God. There's a passage of scripture, I think it's found in Hebrews 11, says that without faith it's impossible to please God. And faith is about trusting him, relying on him, knowing that he cares about you, and he cares enough, and he's paying attention enough to your life to know when you call for him to him for help, and that he is there to respond to you. When we ask God to help us make a difficult decision or work things out for us, he does. I believe it's in the book of James. He said, if anybody wants wisdom, and that's knowing what to do, if anybody wants wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to everybody who asks. But let him ask with nothing doubting. There's this element of trust, and you say, well, is this the cart before the horse, or how does this work? Do I trust him, and then he proves himself to me, or does he prove himself to me, and then I can trust him? Well, you know what God says? I'm going to prove myself to you, but you got to trust me. If you're going to ask him for wisdom, if you're going to ask him a question, you have to believe that he's going to give you the answer. And I'm, like I said, you can find the answer in the word. You can find the answer perhaps in a sermon on Sunday morning. You can find the answer in just God kind of impressing you that something is good or something it is right. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're a married couple and you're making a big decision in life, you know what I always encourage people to do is make sure you're in agreement before you move forward. Make sure you're in agreement, because God will speak to your wife or your husband. He really will. Does that mean you're always going to have an agreement and somebody's got to break the tie? Sometimes you got to break the tie if you can't be in agreement and a decision has to be made. I'm just going to tell you that, and that's a whole nother sermon again. Usually it's the husband who's responsible for making that choice or making that decision. And that's, again, another sermon. I'm just filling you in. So guess what? Tag, you're it, dad or husband. Tag your it. You've got to make the tough call when no call is easy to make, and yet there's a deadline in front of you. And here's the thought for moms or our wives. Don't be a second guesser then. If there's a tough decision that has to be made and there's disagreement, ask God. I believe he will give you both the same answer. But if it's a tough one and a decision has to be made, God says the husband's responsible for here, and I'll do that another time. But look at this. This is the important thing that I want to say. Circle the word guides and protects. Protects is a big word here. It's a really good news word, especially for second guessers. People have made a decision and then wonder, did I make the right decision? Look what it says here. The Lord guides us in the way we should go and protects those who please him. How do we please him? We please him by trusting him. What this tells me is that if I've done my best to search the scripture and understand the broad principles, if I've asked him to give me wisdom, if I've done things the way he wanted me to do, I've done the best that I can. And you know what? That's all God expects from you. Do the best you can. And then we rely on him to protect us. We've done the best we had. Now, God, I got to trust you to take care of me, to work things out for me. And that's the kind of God that we serve. A God who loves you. He cares for you. He wants to protect you. He wants you to have that rich and satisfying life. He'll protect you when you make the decisions and trust him in this life. Let's bow our heads now. Lord, I thank you that you don't want us living in the darkness. You don't want us wondering about what you're like. You don't want us being anxious and stressed over things as they are. You don't want us to be second-guessing decisions that we've made. Lord, you've said in your word, you work all things together for good. Good things and bad things, you work them all together for our good. You're looking out for us. Your word says that you go ahead of us as we follow you. You walk with us to strengthen us. Lord, and your word says that you're looking out from behind us. You're our rear guard. You're seeing the things that are sneaking up on us that we don't know about. Lord, this is a wonderful life that you've given us. You're an amazing God, and we thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that when I was just a kid, when I was 18 years old, you revealed yourself to me, and you invited me to become your child. And when I prayed that simple prayer, you came into my life, and that's changed everything. It changed everything in an instant, Lord, and you're continuing to change me day by day as I walk with you. So I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you in advance for 2019. There are going to be some great days this coming year, Lord. I believe that's true. And there could be some difficult days ahead as well. But I know whether they're light and bright and sunny days or dark days, that your light is there with us to get us through, to help us overcome, to go walk with confidence and live with your strength and your ability, to trust that you're always holding our hand, you're always working things out, you're always with us. We thank you for that in advance. And Lord, I ask for anybody here this morning that's heard the message and wondered, I'm not sure that I'm following Jesus. I'm not sure that Christ is in me or that I'm in him or he's with me or anything like that. And the answer to the question is, if you don't know that for certain, then that's probably the case, but there's more good news this morning. The Bible says this: Christ suffered. He died once for all, for the sins of all us guilty sinners, although he himself was innocent of any sin at any time, that he might bring us safely home to God. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to be safe. He wants you to be safely in his home, safely in his family. He wants to forgive your past. He wants you to have his peace and presence in the present. And he wants to give you confidence for the future. And so maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ into your life. It's a simple prayer. It goes like this. Jesus, I know I've sinned. I know I haven't done the things I was supposed to do, and I didn't, and I did things I shouldn't have done. Lord, would you forgive me? I'm sorry, I don't want to be like that. I want to change. Would you forgive me for my past? Lord, I've walked without you for too many years in my life. Would you come into my life? Would you come into my life? And whether you've wandered away from him or whether you've never received him in the first place, you pray the same prayer. Forgive me of my sins. Would you come into my life anew? Would you lead me? Would you guide me? Lord, would you give me the strength to trust and follow you? You pray a simple prayer like that, and you become part of that scripture. Anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is past. Behold, all things become new. If you prayed a prayer like that this morning, write it down on the card or see somebody or tell a family member that you received Christ this day, and we'll help you get started with next steps in your life. In fact, there's a book in the back. And please, make it your plan for the new year to get into the series that we're about to do, God's Power to Transform Your Life. It'll change you in ways that you've never seen in your life before. Would you stand and sing this as a closing song?